lands in view. Will America still be the same to raise my own like you? As you go forth into battle, I will join you on my knees. May revival be my constant prayer. May God's mercy we receive. For America, fathers, fall upon your knees. For America, to revive our families, we must rend our hearts and homes. For God's reality, we must see the power of God. For America, pastors cry aloud and stand. For America, to see revival in our land. May our children start to see.
I'd like to thank the Bishop family for coming and bringing our ministry of music tonight. And of course, we have Brother Steve Bishop who will be speaking here this evening. Give your attention to him. I do have a few announcements I wanted to make here before we begin. One is that many of you know Brother E.J. Brown. Might remember him in your prayers. His surgery is tomorrow morning, I believe around 10 o'clock. So certainly keep him in mind. The other is tonight after the service and the snacks, probably about 8:40 or 8:45, for the youth is Capture the Flag. Meet over here at the dining hall. So our theme this evening, or for this day, had to do with truth, and I wanted to read to you from section 90 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Here in verse 4 it says, "Ye also were in the beginning with the Father, that which is spirit, even the spirit of truth, and truth is knowledge of things as they are, and as they were, and as they are to come. And whatsoever is more or less than this is the spirit of that wicked one, who is a liar from the beginning." I remember I had a class in college, that a biochemistry class, and the teacher asked a question, "What is truth?" And different people tried to answer that, and of course he was talking about truth in regard to his field and biomolecular biology, But his statement was, truth is whatever is the current discovery. So if something, we discover something today that disproves something we believed yesterday, then that becomes the truth. And brothers and sisters, of course, we don't believe that. That's not the God that, or at least the type of truth that we believe in. We believe in a God who is who resides in truth, and that truth does not change. The truth for all eternity, both the truth that existed in the times when the world was created, to when our Lord and Savior was here, to the beginning of the restoration, they are all the same. That is the God that we worship. We will continue and begin our service by singing hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. It is a handout. Is there anyone who did not get the handout? There's a couple here. Mike, the Leans didn't get it. Yeah, put your hand up if you need the handout. And we'll stand for this, and then afterwards, Brother John McGowan will bring our invocation.
Thank you. start. And Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for this opportunity to gather together this evening. I ask that your spirit will abide with us this evening, that you will be with our brother as he brings your word, that you will be with everybody here, that we may comprehend and understand the words that he brings. Again, I give you thanks for everything that you have done. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. My opening scripture will be coming from section 22 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Starting in paragraph 2. And God spake unto Moses, saying, Behold, I am the Lord God Almighty, and endless is my name. For I am without beginning of days or end of years, and is not this endless? And behold, thou art my son. Wherefore look, and I will show thee the workmanship of mine hands, but not all. For my works are without end, and also my words, for they never cease. Wherefore, no man can behold all my works except he behold all my glory. And no man can behold all my glory and afterwards remain in the flesh on the earth. And I have a work for thee, Moses, my son, and thou art in the similitude of mine only begotten, and my only begotten is and shall be the Savior. For he is full of grace and truth. But there is no God beside me, and all things are present with me, for I know them all. And now behold this one thing I show unto thee, Moses my son, for thou art in the world, and now I show it unto thee. And it came to pass that Moses looked, and beheld the world upon which he was created. And as Moses beheld the world and the ends thereof, and all the children of men, which are and which were created, of the same he greatly marveled and wondered. And the presence of God withdrew from Moses, that his glory was not upon Moses. And Moses was left unto himself. And as he was left unto himself, he fell to the earth. And it came to pass that it was for the space of many hours before Moses did again receive his natural strength, like unto a man. And he said unto himself, Now, for this cause, I know that man is nothing, which thing I never had supposed. I pray God would add his blessing to the reading of his word.
Line, be near.
Lord God of hosts, be with us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget.
Far cold our navies melt away, on dune and headland sinks the fire, till all our pomp of yesterday is one with Nineveh entire.
Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Judge of the nations, spare us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. God of our fathers, who did lead their quest for liberty and right, help us to stand who now are freed and always in thy law delight. Almighty God, convict us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Almighty God, convict us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget. Almighty God, convict us yet, lest we forget, lest we forget.
Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't know about you, but I have a bad memory. And so I appreciate my family choosing that particular song. Because I think if we would look down throughout the epoch of time, one thing that we do have in common with our ancestors is that we are soon to forget. The restored gospel brought forth by the Book of Mormon is this example over and over again. How soon we are to forget. And if it's only by God's grace that we remember, it's only by His grace that He is patient with us, only by His grace that He continues to spare us yet, and praise be to Him forevermore. In the 1500s, there was a man named Copernicus. He revolutionized the area of studying the stars and heavenly bodies, in that he proposed to the whole world a radical idea, and that was that everything did not revolve around the earth. That the entire universe, that the earth was not the center of the entire universe. And with this thought, there came to be what they call a Copernican principle. And this principle is a principle of mediocrity. And that is that Earth isn't the center of the universe. The sun is the center of our solar system. The universe is so much bigger than what they originally thought. And Earth is just this very small part of it. In the 1920s, Edwin Hubble, a well-known astronomer, Mount Wilson, California, with a high-powered telescope, spent years and years studying the skies. And he added to this, because he saw out in the distance things that no one had ever seen. Galaxies, innumerable. And so with that, he proposed that not only is our solar system not at the edge of the universe, rotating around the earth, but also that there are so many other galaxies, and the possibility is he located 100 different planets or solar systems that he thought would be just like our solar system. Adding to this thought that Earth is not really that special. In 1990, something wonderful happened. In the 1960s, there was the Voyager launches, spacecraft. And it took them almost 30 years to reach Saturn. And once it got caught in its orbit, they turned it, and it took a photo of the Earth. I think it was 4 billion miles away. And what the Earth looked like was this pale blue dot in this band of light. Of course, when you see something like that, when people saw that, it added too. It helped solidify this idea that Earth is just another speck of dust in the universe. The principle of mediocrity. The theme tonight is God's truth abideth still. And the title for this message is I Have a Work for Thee. Now, I'm a convert to the church. I didn't come to know the Lord Jesus until I was in my early 20s. And there was a revelation that was revealed. There was a message revealed to me by a humble servant. Her name was Jean Coney. She was instrumental, her family was instrumental in my conversion. And it was something that she said to me one day that I don't even think she gave any thought to, but it changed my life forever. And that is, Steve, God has a purpose for you. That was the first time I ever heard of such a thing. That God had a purpose for me. That He cared about me. He had been watching over me. Because who am I? I'm a nobody. God is almighty. His truth abideth forever. He is endless. He is holy. And He is just. In paragraph 2 of the section that I read earlier, section 22, Moses is told this very thing. Behold, I am the Lord God Almighty, and endless is my name. For I am without beginning of days or end of years. This truth abides still. No matter what the world says, no matter what they try to deceive us with, this truth abides still. God is almighty. He is the almighty God. He is endless. He is without beginning of days or end of years. In Mosiah chapter 2, we have the closing words of a great king to his people, to his children, to his sons. Now, I've come to understand that I pay attention when a man is speaking to his children for the last time, as he closes up the sum total of his life. Son, I'm going to share with you what I've learned throughout my days. People, my people, I'm going to share with you what I've learned. And this is counsel to each one of us in Mosiah chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. Believe in God. Now, we might think that we don't need to be reminded of this. But it doesn't take very long out in the world, being submersed in temptation and wickedness, to lose sight that God sits on His throne and we are upon His footstool. Believe in God that He is and that created all things both in heaven and in earth. This is the closing words of a loving Father and King to His people. Believe that He has all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man does not comprehend all things which the Lord can comprehend. God is almighty, and man does not comprehend all things. In Isaiah chapter 40, we read, beautiful scripture, life's words here. Isaiah chapter 40, I'll start in verse 12. Your assignment, I like to give assignments. Read all of chapter 40. All of Isaiah chapter 40. Can you remember that? I doubt I'll remember at the end to remind you, so. Isaiah chapter 40. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of His hand and meted out heaven with the span, and comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure, and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being His counselor hath taught Him? With whom took He counsel, and who instructed Him, and taught Him in the path of judgment, and taught Him knowledge, and showed Him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Behold, He taketh up the isles as a very little thing. And Lebanon is not sufficient to burn. This great forest is not sufficient to burn, nor the beast thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations before Him are as nothing, and they are counted to Him less than nothing in vanity. To whom then will ye liken God? Or what likeness will ye compare unto Him? The workman melteth a graven image, and goldsmith spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is impoverished, he that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation, chooseth a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved, or that shall not be moved. Have ye not known? Have ye not heard? Hath it not been told unto you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is He that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, and stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. He dwelleth high in the heavens. He is holy. He dwelleth in the high and holy place. And we here upon His footstool. Truth number two. Again, from Doctrine and Covenants section 22. Jesus is the Savior. In paragraph 4a. And Thou art in the similitude of Mine only begotten, and My only begotten is and shall be the Savior, for He is full of grace and truth. He is full of grace and truth. You know, when I first started to learn about Jesus, I had no idea what He had done for me. You know, I used His name in cursing. I heard His name in cursing most of my life. And I'm a nobody. Isaiah chapter 53. In verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people, for your transgression was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief when thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin. He shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, justify you, for he shall bear their iniquities. He has borne our iniquities. And it doesn't hurt us to be reminded of that, is it? Does it? I don't think it hurts us one whit to be reminded of this eternal truth, that he is Savior, that he is full of grace, and not only grace, but of truth. And he sits on the right hand of the Father. He has done the will of the Father. He has borne our sorrows. He was acquainted with grief. And he has made us free. You know, in just the recent past, we've celebrated freedom, liberty. In John chapter 8, Jesus gives us this word as to what true freedom is. No other freedom is possible but without this freedom that comes only and in through the name of his only begotten Son, which is Jesus. Then said Jesus to the Jews, this is John chapter 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to the Jews, which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I'd like for you to pay attention to this. He's talking to the Jews, the children of Abraham, and their response to him. This could be said of Americans. This could be said of any one of us that have been born temporally in freedom, that have known freedom throughout our lives. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed. We be Americans. We've never been in bondage to anyone. We be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Whosoever committeth sin is in bondage to sin. You are not free. This is what makes you free. He continues. This is true freedom. You know, in the scriptures we have this example of, before I read that, I just have to say this. I wasn't planning on this. Joseph, the son of Jacob. You know, he was sold into slavery. He was then thrown into prison. But yet he was always free. No matter where he was free. I think because of this principle. And he lived it out in his life. You could see it. His works bore the fruit of it. He was not a slave. He was a servant of his God. He chose to be a servant. And Jesus said in verse 35, And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. As Savior. Truth number three. I like numbers. I like points. Without God, man is nothing. Again, simple truth, but sometimes I think we forget. Sometimes I forget. Sometimes I think I'm something. Let's return to section 22 again. And it came to pass, this is section 22 in paragraph 7a, and it came to pass, it was for the space of many hours before Moses did again receive his natural strength like unto man, God had left him. And he said unto himself, now for this cause I know that man is nothing. Now let's consider Moses here for just a moment. And in Hebrews, he was counted as one of those great men of faith. He left Egypt, not because he feared Pharaoh, it's because he would not choose the pleasures of sin for a season, is what Hebrews 11 says. That is why he left. And here, he was meant to be the prince of Egypt, the son of a princess, raised up in Pharaoh's house. And here he pauses for a moment and says, man is nothing. I have seen the greatest civilization on earth flourish. I have been witness to it. Man is nothing without God. God has left him. And he says this, which thing I never had supposed. He had never even considered it. Have you considered it? Have you ever considered where you would be without God? Have you ever pondered for a moment where each one, I have over and over again. I have family members in jail. They've gone to prison. Addicted to drugs and substance abuse. Fornicators, adulterers, sodomites. And I could be one of them if it weren't for the grace and where he reached down where I was and snatched me from an everlasting burning. And it is good for me to consider 1 Corinthians 10:12. Take heed that you stand, lest you fall. Take a moment to consider where you would be without Jesus. Without this eternal plan of salvation. This truth that abideth forever. In Helam in chapter 4, it's a sorry state that the Nephites are in. We see this ebb and flow of their obedience, and they're in a valley. They just don't know it yet. They're being prophesied against. Behold, they do not desire. This is Helam in chapter 4, verse 56. Behold, they do not desire that the Lord their God, who hath created them, should rule and reign over them. To be a servant of the Lord God Almighty. Notwithstanding His great goodness, notwithstanding they dwelleth high in the heavens, but He has sought after each one of them. He has left the 99 and come and sought you. Notwithstanding His great goodness and mercy towards them, yet they do set at naught His counsels. Yet their will will not submit to let Him that He should be their God. And this is the result. And how great is the nothingness of the children of men. Yea, even they are less than the dust of the earth. For behold, the dust of the earth moveth hither and thither to the dividing asunder at the command of our great and everlasting God. All things that live and move and have their being is by the word of His power and by His will. And without Him we are nothing. Now my last point, I have just a few minutes left. My last point is that you are special. He has left the 99 and sought for you. And sought for you. And sought for you. And sought for you. And He will not give up so long as there is this slim chance that you will turn. You are special. The earth is special. This truth abideth still. 1995, there was a man named Galileo Gonzalez. He witnessed a full eclipse. He is an astrobiologist. He has spent his entire life, his adult life, seeking how there might be life on other planets. He has spent a great deal of study in this. In 1995, he was in northern India because that was the best advantage they had at observing this total eclipse. And as he's observing it, something struck him. A thought struck him. How is this possible? You know, he has studied the heavenly bodies. He has studied the spheres. He has studied stars. He has looked out into things that none of us probably will ever see. And probably done math I'll never want to do. And he considered how it is. I have a demonstration. I like props. How the earth is just the right size.
Let's pretend this is the side. I need a volunteer, please. Hosanna was the first one with her hand up. Go ahead and step up here, okay?
Now this is the moon, and everybody understand how a total eclipse happens. The moon is orbiting the earth, and there's a certain time in which it's just perfectly aligned, in which from our perspective on earth, the sun is almost, now this is the key, almost completely blotted out. It isn't completely. This is an important point to make. It is just the right size. Everybody understand that? It is 400 times smaller than the sun. It is 400 times the distance from the sun as the earth. It's in perfect alignment. So go ahead, come on over here. And what I want you to do is hold up the moon. All right, let's get a little closer. Hold up the moon to where it blocks out the sun and back up until the sun is almost completely blocked out. Right there. See how far she is away from it? Now, what he was thinking, this Mr. Gonzalez, is what if the moon was bigger? Of course, people do this, right? Now, she was standing right here. Now go ahead and do the same thing. Line it up. So if the moon was just a little bit bigger, it would be closer to the sun, which would mean it would be farther away from the earth. And then that sets the course. And that sets a course for life no longer to be possible on the earth. Perfection. Timing. Intelligence. And that's not the only thing. He set down to enumerate some factors that make the Earth special. Now remember, it's just this speck. When Voyager turned and looked at it from 4 billion miles away, it was just this pale blue dot. It was insignificant. There could be billions of those out in the universe, which might be possible. Oh, not to come off of the idea that the moon is just the right size for us to see the sun's chromosphere, it's called. In the 1800s, they were able to discover things that they still use today because of total eclipses. The spectrum of light that comes off of sun and what the sun is made of. These spectrum and laws of light were discovered by a great Christian scientist, Isaac Newton, in the 1600s. And as man has continued to discover things, what they find is order and perfection. If the Earth was just 5% closer to the sun, it would burn up. If it were 20% farther away, and this is just by their modest calculations, it could be finer than that. 20% farther away from the sun, it would be a frozen wasteland. And you have the privilege, of knowing Him. And now if they would have read the Book of Mormon earlier, they would have known, right, that the earth isn't the center of the universe. The moon is just the right size to give it a proper tilt to moderate the climates. I'll just read a few of these. It's just in the right spot. This was fascinating to me. You see these spiral arm galaxies. Well, we are in the Milky Way. And they used to think that we are out on the edge of the Milky Way. But now they've discovered that we are in between one of these spiral arms. The Earth is in between. Our sun is in between one of these spiral arms. And if it were closer to the core of the galaxy, you wouldn't be able to see outside of Earth's atmosphere. It would be so bright because of all the stars. If it was farther away or closer to the arm, you wouldn't be able to see anything. If our atmosphere was not transparent, you look at any other planet in the solar system and all the other planets that they've discovered, the atmosphere is not transparent. If it could possibly support life, you cannot see from the surface of these planets. And God in His mercy has allowed us to view it. In Psalm 19, he says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." This is why we get to see it. "Declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. No speech nor language can be if their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. For His going forth is from the end of the heaven, and His circuit unto the ends of it, and there is nothing hid from the heat thereof. And the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul." The earth is very special. Its iron core, what they predict, and that not all these things are proven, creates this magnetic field around the earth that if we didn't have it, we couldn't live. The sun's gamma rays would bombard the earth and destroy every living thing. Meteorites and asteroids would pummel the earth. They say that the large planet, this is a solar system with huge sister planets that attract, its gravity attracts asteroids so that they don't hit the earth. The earth is very special. So what we have is man's wisdom through hundreds of years trying to prove that we're insignificant. in just a matter of moments. It's been proven otherwise. Because His truth abideth still. You know, I remember before I was converted, I thought I was my own, you know. But I found out that I was bought with a price. And I'm no longer my own. It cost the blood of the Son of God. That's special, isn't it? Doesn't that make you feel special? Makes me feel very special. Unworthy. Lowly. Humble. The Prince of Glory has died for me. That I might be in the presence of His Father. And I thought I was my own. Young people, God is not mocked. Whatsoever you reap, you will sow. Live clean while you're young. You ever heard that message by Arthur Oakman? If you want to live free of skeletons in your closet when you're old, live clean while you're young. Live clean. And you probably could ask any one of these older people, if they had it to do over again, they would have maintained their purity. They would have sought the Lord with their whole hearts. If they would have known what it would have cost the Lord of Glory and the opportunities that they had passed up, they would do it over again. Who? Who would do it over again? Who would do it different if you could? Live a life worthy to be called after the order of the Son of God. You are not your own. We are not our own. We are bought with a price. You know, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart when I see these people who are tattooed and pierced, that are destroying their bodies. I've been down that. I've done it. Only to regret it. Tried to destroy myself with alcohol. And a wayward life. It isn't worth it. Wickedness never was happiness. Live clean while you're young. And I know it's hard. It's difficult. There are many temptations. You know, in the Lehi's vision, you know what it was that they were able to do when they were holding on, they were gripping to the rod of iron, they were passing by that great and spacious building, they were mocking. You remember what they did? They heeded them not. They heeded them not. And they were able to pass on to the tree of life. And in closing, I'm sorry I'm going a little late. Guard over your purity. Guard over your hearts. You know, all things to God are spiritual. In section 28, He says so. No commandment is He given unto the children of men, which is carnal or sensual or devilish. It is all spiritual. That means it has spiritual consequences. It may have physical consequences, but sometimes we see others and we don't see them living the physical consequence. But for you and for them, there is a spiritual price they will have to pay. Heed them not. God is almighty. He is endless and holy and just. Jesus is the Savior. For He is full of grace and truth. Without God, man is nothing. And God has a work for you. I have a work for thee. Oh, He would say that to you. Because it's true. He has a work for you. Find out what it is. That's your other assignment. God bless you. Thank you for your patience.
Thank you, Brother Steve, for your words of counsel and wisdom. We will close our service by singing hymn 247, and we'll stand as we sing this, and then Brother Rodney Brown will bring our benediction.
God, our eternal Heavenly Father, again we bow before Thee at the close of this service and are thankful, Heavenly Father, for the blessings You've given us. Thankful, Heavenly Father, for this opportunity to share and for this message that we have heard this evening. Thank You for the testimony our brother has brought of Your great love for him and his life. and your great love, Heavenly Father, for each of us. And so we pray that you will continue to abide with these people here upon these grounds as we continue the activities this evening as well as the rest of this week. And we know, Heavenly Father, that as we draw closer to you, you will draw closer to us. And so again, we praise thee and thank thee and give unto thee all honor and glory. In the name of your Son, Jesus the Christ, amen.